Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. What's going on, sweet guy?
You know, just recovering on this fine Monday. How are you doing?
Monday recovery day, baby. We were on tour. It was so fun. We're going to continue starting the 21st of April. That's April. Okay? Because I'm bilingual, that is. We're going to be in Toronto. Then we're going to Philadelphia. And that's it for April. We're having a pretty chill one. So get to Toronto and Philadelphia. Both of those are selling really well. So go get your tickets, okay? Make sure you're there. Then after that, we're going to New York City, Washington, D.C., San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, Columbus, Boston, and Massachusetts, okay? For Fox Woods Casino, otherwise known as Ramona Woods Casino. Okay, can't help it. I'm Foxy. That's what everybody says about me. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get those links.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone who showed up in Seattle and San Francisco last week. Those were two amazing, crazy shows. You guys are crazy in the best way. I mean, you guys are just like the walls of sound you guys sort of sent our way. It was so amazing. So thank you so much to everyone who showed up. That was really was a blast. We had such a fun little trip. We walked around San Francisco. We had ice cream. We looked at a hot guy in a bakery. It was a great time.
Yeah, it really was a good time. And got to eat a lot of delicious food, which leads us to Top Chef, which is right now. Okay. So today is Top Chef Day. Now, we skipped a week last week because, you know, we warned you at the beginning of the season, Bravo's throwing too much at us. And sometimes we're going to have to skip something. Okay, why did we choose Top Chef? We figured people would care the least. That is not true. Yeah. You guys cared, okay? And then after watching all the shows, we should have skipped fucking Summer House. That's what deserved it last week. But
yeah,
you know what? We learned that lesson, and now we're back with Top Chef, episode 2004. Or 20, season
and let me
20,
just say,
episode 4, I guess I should say.
Yes, and let me just say how happy it made me that people were upset that we didn't do Top Chef, because Top Chef, when it's Top Chef season, that's like my favorite thing to do all week. And it like made me so happy that people were like, where's Top Chef? Where's Top Chef? I'm like, yes, yes, people love Top Chef, so we can do it more. So I'm like thrilled. And this season, by the way, is awesome. The chefs are doing such amazing work. I'm loving it so far.
It's rough because I like all the chefs, and normally there's a few that, you know, you hate, like maybe love to hate or whatever, and so it's fun to see them get kicked off and stuff. I'm not having that this year. I'm really liking everybody. Last week, Dawn got the boot, and that was pretty sad, and then she got the boot again in Last Chance Kitchen, if anyone's following that. So that kind of sucked because, you know, I love Dawn.
Yeah. But actually, Dawn got the boot on episode 2. Last week, I was actually very
Where
upset.
Where the hell was I?
Because so last week it was May. Yeah, May. Yeah, last week was May and a Canadian guy. And he was the closest one I felt like we had to – closest we had to a villain, because basically they got together and she was like, I think we should do something more elaborate. I think we should do, you know, do something XYZ, as Larsa Pippen would say. And he was like, no, just we'll do a salad. We'll do a scotch egg with a salad. And he's like, I think we should cut the egg in half. And she's like, I don't think we should do that. He's like, no, we're going to cut it in half. It was one of those things where the guy totally just like mansplained to the girl. And then they went home. And I was very upset about it.
Well, she did at least get to pick the dish because he wanted to do something else. And she was True. Like, no, scotch egg. So they did that. By the way, both of the thing, whatever it was between, that's some London food that we don't understand. So culturally, I don't want to come at you guys with shit like that because that's not really fair. I will say that this scotch egg looked barfy to me. I don't know if they're supposed to look barfy. I don't know, you know, like we have a lot of food that looks barfy. Okay, I get it. I'm not trying to offend a whole culture, but yeah. Man, I don't know what the hell that thing's supposed to be. Me new likey. I did not like that. Cut it in half? Don't cut it in half. Fucking bake an egg just the normal way. It's just an egg. Why you got to cover it with breading and sausage? Gross.
Well, it's like a breakfast sandwich, except it's like all together.
If it's no like one if had said, invented bread
Let's
yet.
Take the bun. Yeah, let's take the bread and put it into the meat and then take the egg and put it into the meat and we'll serve it all together.
That's why the Earl of Sandwich was so fucking popular, because no one had ever thought to put bread on the outside. They were just like, okay, I've made an egg you can eat with your hands because I've coated it with meat. And people are like, wow, delicious.
It's the original Cadbury cream egg. This Easter, please enjoy this meatball. Surprise, it's an egg.
So
Padma's like a big, in our version, Padma's like a big proponent of the scotch egg, apparently. I invented the scotch egg.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the scotch egg, but yeah, he was very like, no, we're going to do it this way. And this brings me back to my original point with Dale. Never trust a man with a handlebar mustache, okay? A, they're cheesy nope. fucks. I've never known somebody who's not a cheesy fuck who has one of those, okay? And if you have one right now, nope. think about what I'm saying deeply, because I am judging you. And guess who else is? Everybody else who sees you. You look stupid. It's a stupid choice. Take it off. I've never known someone nice with one of the... Listen, the handlebar mustache is what they put on villains who tie girls to train tracks in cartoons.
Literally. Or bankers, like evil, like predatory bankers. Let me tell you something. I actually know someone with a handlebar. And guess what he did? He cheated on his wife. So, you know exactly. what? The handlebar, see, right there. Handlebar.
Fucking exactly. Okay. Of course he did. And then he probably, you know, like, came up with a new way to fuck over the customer in banking, you know? Or like...
That's right.
Heads up they, health insurance to charge you $1,600 fucking dollars to go to an emergency room to get a blood test, okay? By the way, now, that's projected.
I haven't seen it.
But fuck you, healthcare care system. Okay, fuck you. That's from me personally. I mean, the healthcare system in America has on a handlebar mustache. There, I said it.
I was going to say, Mr. Permanente, like the Kaiser Permanente. Like, you know, Kaiser, it's like Kaiser John Permanente, because Kaiser's the title, like clearly has a handlebar mustache. I'll say that right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would rather Kaiser than anything else, because when I had Kaiser, at least that shit was cheap. You know, I mean, it would match the service you get, but still it was cheap. And it brings us full circle, because guess what else Kaiser is? A bun, which would have made the scotch egg
it
work.
It is a bun. It's a okay, roll.
It would have made the yeah. scotch egg work. So that didn't work. So then both That's a of great, them.
I love that you did that.
It's called being educated in improvisation. So then they both got yes, sent Kaiser. To Last Chance Kitchen. Okay. And who was still there? Was it Don? I guess it was Don. Right?
I didn't. So I actually didn't. Well, it had to have been Don, but they must have beaten Don, because I didn't watch that Last Chance Kitchen, but I watched this week's, and Don was sitting on a stool. So
yeah, I feel so bad for the people who get chopped on Last Chance Kitchen first, because they're double pissed, you know, and they're double yeah. bitter.
And I feel like I kind of feel like Last Chance Kitchen, it's a little unfair that it just all comes down to Tom. I do think that there should be a panel of judges. I don't think it's fair that one person gets to make that decision.
Well, this time, Gail was there as well, with bright lemons all over her dress. Yeah, I mean, getting judged by somebody with, like, lemons all over their dress, it's like, you already feel like a lemon. Like, you got on this show, and you've already been sent to the lemon factory, you know? And then here comes Gail to remind you what second place looks like.
Boohoo lemon. Well, that's too bad. If you're gonna be sent home by any sort of citrus, you know, lemons. I don't know. I don't think I'd mind. Actually, you know what? I have to say, I don't think I mind the lemon pattern. I'm gonna say it right there. Maybe it just didn't look good on Gail, but I haven't seen it. So
it's just a you know, symbolic. I'll withhold judgment. It's a symbolism, Ben. It's like a lemon is a car okay. that you buy that doesn't work. You know what I mean? And that's when you get on the show, you think you're going to be a success. They deem you a lemon. They send you away. And then this little woman shows up in a lemon dress to just point her finger in your face and complain about your greasy, rubbery eggs.
So rude. It's so rude that Gail would do that. Well, unfortunately, Gail's fashion does not improve on this episode. It was funny because before I saw this episode of Top Chef, where were we in San Francisco where you pointed out like, oh, this is just like Gail's blazer.
Yeah, we were at a live show. And this really beautiful lady was wearing an orange and pink sweater. It wasn't a blazer like Gail's, but like half of it, it was the same colors. It was half one color and half the other color. And I said, oh my God, Gail wore that on Top Chef this week. And she just looked at me like I punched her in the face. And I felt so bad. Because I was like, I know that we make fun of Gail all the time, but it works on you. You look beautiful.
It did. It did work. On that lady, it worked. As a sweater, it felt like fine. As a blazer, I'm not sure that was Gail's most successful moment on Top Chef.
It's Gail's always competing with herself to be the worst. Like the worst dressed every week.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm really going to up it this week. And she sure did.
It wasn't great. So this week's episode begins with the chefs. It doesn't even have a moment of them in the hotel, like someone trying to FaceTime their child or someone trying to like lift weights or something, because they always throw in some weird ass vignette for 10 seconds to try to give personality to people. There was one season where they had, what's her name, Sarah, they just had her like lifting giant weights and she's like, yeah, when I'm not cooking I'm a power lifter by hobby. Like, what?
Oh my God.
So they didn't even bother it this week. Not this Sarah. It was the woman from she's from Boston. She was on Top Chef California. She's the one when we went to her little tent, she served like an apple gazpacho. She was great. She's a lesbian.
Apples. But by the way, that's applesauce for anybody who's not paying attention. That's what we got served on Top Chef by a power lifter. Fucking applesauce. Okay?
A power lifter. So anyway, the chefs just walk through the Big Ben clock into the kitchen. And Padma's already standing there. Good morning, chefs. I'd like to introduce you to your guest judge for today, world-renowned pastry chef and chocolatier and Pussy Bow fan, Mr. Paul A. Young.
In America, we call him a world-class renowned pastry chef and chocolatier. In London, we call him a dirty ginger and push him into lockers. Hi. Hello, person discriminated against because of their hair color. Did you know America stole the burrito?
Please welcome your guest judge, the Webster definition of a dandy. Hi, welcome.
He's like, oh, I am so excited to be here. And Gabby's like, oh, he's got the Austin Powers vibe, the t-shirt, the shoes. I dig him. Ding.
Yeah. All right, chefs. Did you know that the average Brit buys 500 biscuits a year? That's almost as many as Gail buys in an afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Food fact, crisps, wafer, cracker, or cookie? Cookies! There's my clue giver. Or depending on where you're from, they're called cookies, galletas, DNA. I'm speaking of Gail, of course. Her kidney is literally just two walnuts magically pumping out chocolate to her cookie dough heart. God bless her.
Now, when I say biscuits, I mean the tasty, often crumbly British biscuit, not whatever it is that Sarah tries to fish out of a river in Kentucky.
In American, they say this is a biscuit, and then you open it up and say, what the fuck are these? That's a scone. That's a Buddha, of course. And so Pat was like, whatever you call it, there are many ways to enjoy this all over the world. Whatever they're called, we're putting your baking skills to the test. We want you to create one sweet and one savory biscuit. You'll use something. You'll use lighter on dough. What's dough? Oh, you can use the same dough, different doughs. You can use one dough and one Play-Doh, which is also dough, but only for playing. You can use nail polish.
You can also use you can use leftover ticket stubs from your latest comedy special. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was speaking to my dear friend, Ali Wong.
So the guest guy's like, will it be herby? Will it be herby? Will it be cheesy? Will it be sandwiched? Just make it look beautiful.
Will it be gingery? Oh, sorry. That was a reference to you, Paul.
Would it be incessantly bullied just because of how it was born? Sorry, Paul. Okay, you have...
Will it look like it just came from the Bloomingdale's perfume counter? Sorry, Paul.
You have as long as Paul makes it through first period before getting severely beat up by at least half of the football team. 45 minutes. Time starts now. Don't crumble under pressure.
That's, of course, what I also said to the London Bridge when Gail walked across it.
So Sarah's like, I make American biscuits all the time. We fucking know, Sarah. Okay? You don't even have to speak. We already know, Sarah. Okay?
Hey, Sarah, did you not hear? Sarah, please put your harmonica down and listen. Did you not hear when I said British biscuit? British biscuit.
Sarah, you can take the ingredients out of that handkerchief you've tied around a stick. Okay? You're not running away from home.
So Amar's like, biscuits in 45 minutes. Usually you mix it. And then you have to let it rest, and then you roll it, and that's a process that takes time. It's like, yes, Amar, we know. That's the whole point. It's a quick fire challenge. They never give you any time to do anything good.
I know, but also, that's an American biscuit. Aren't they supposed to be making cookies here? Well, what the hell?
They're basically making, yeah.
He's describing how you make biscuits. Or like a cracker. He's describing you don't have to let cookie dough rest. I mean, this guy's making actual American biscuit dough, you know? So then, which also Sarah knows, like, what she pointed out, but my goodness.
I know. So they're all making biscuits now. Luciana's making some sort of Brazilian biscuit with tonka beans, which is like a Brazilian bean that tastes like vanilla. And then Tom, the German guy, is like, oh, you guys, does anyone have a cookie recipe you'd like to share? Okay, would you like to let me know, please? Because I would like to know. I'm into sharing, please. Because he hates baking. And so he is very unhappy with this challenge.
And Charbin is telling us that there's not much biscuits in Lebanon. Now, listen, you actually live there, okay? I'm just Lebanese, but there were plenty of cookies in Lebanese homes growing up. I'll tell you that. So I don't know if they made that shit up or what, but they were delicious.
Maybe it's just some, like, weird version of American Tale. There's no biscuits in Lebanon.
I know this. There's a lot of rose water and a lot of powdered sugar and a lot of almonds and very chewy. There's one cookie that's basically like the dough is just soaked in honey and then they put an almond on there. I don't know what the hell that is, but it is so, so mealy and good. Okay, so then
that sounds great.
Tom the German is like, oh, if anyone has recipe to share, let me know because I hate baking under pressure. I cannot do this.
Yeah, so I'm just going to make something called biscuit cloths. It's like a soft, cloudy dough. Then you freeze it, and then you put it in the harness, and you tickle it with the whip until its nipple quivers. Yeah.
And Buddha just watches him. He's like, I'm more stressed out for him than for me. Oh, get back to your twill, okay?
Get back to your twill. Twill of fortune. So Gabri is making, he's making coricos biscuits, which is like he's using dried corn flour and brown sugar and fun stuff like that. And then Victoire is talking about her biscuits, and she's like, we don't bake in the Congo. We don't bake. I was like, okay.
And then she snaps. She's like, we don't bake. Snap. She's like, so I get my inspiration from the classic dry biscuit from Italy, biscotto. Like, yes. So then what's her bun? Silvi is laughing at Gabri because he's doing, I think he's doing like a spicy one with butter. And then he's doing one with kimchi, tomato, and celery. And she's like, ha, 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 dumb ass potato, which I love. Which I love, by the way.
Yeah. And then Canada smiles using rose. And she's like, rose is a tricky ingredient. If you put in too much rose, you're chewing on a bar of soap. Oh, really? That's called Tuesday at Gail's house.
Pour some Hershey syrup on it. Gail will be pooping out bubbles for a week. So then...
Irish Spring. More like Gail's favorite snack.
I wrote Blonde Lady. Who would that be? Blonde Lady says, I'm not really a
begonia,
fan of... Oh, maybe? Begonia. Yeah, she's like, I'm not really a fan of cookies, so I will do lemon pie. I love how they look. Like, I love that Begonia just doesn't give a fuck. She's like, if this is not a vegetable, I will make something that looks like a lettuce anyway. Thank you.
I know. Seriously. So, yeah, there's just like more cookie making. Ali is getting nervous because he is doing very simple, streamlined flavors. And he's nervous because everyone is doing crazy stuff. And he's worried that his are not going to be fancy enough. And then we have a very dramatic moment where he opens the oven to put his biscuits in, and the oven door hits his tray, and the cookies go flying in the air, and it goes into slow mo. And you know, like Tom's watching back, oh my god, he's gonna drop them, but he catches them all.
Yeah, and then we hear Buddha's backstory for the day. He's like, I don't just love baking, I love all cooking. My pug is named Krishka. That translates to little crumb. He's got more rules than a bakery. He was going to go completely blind, but when I won top chef, I was able to pay for his eye surgery. It was a really good feeling. Damn, I love my dog. I would have cooked him into a cookie and spent that money on a nice dinner. What? You spent your top chef money? Hell no, Bueller. Here's some tape. Good luck.
Like, that's, it is pretty astounding. You know, I mean, look, people love their dogs and people love their dogs to see, so I get it.
No, but of course I would do it for you, Bueller. I'm just trying to trigger him because he's sitting right here. So now I'll trigger myself. Sylvie is making a Caesar cookie with parsley and sardines, so that's where we're at with Sylvie today.
Okay, so she did say sardines, because later on she said anchovy, and I was like, oh, did I hear sardine before by accident? But she's doing it with sardines.
And so she did like, say this that. This is a Polish. Running, what an odd running theme this week, because remember I just mentioned on the show the other day I tried making Caesar with sardines, and it was gross, because I bought that instead you of did, anchovies. Yes. That's so weird. What a weird full circle thing to happen. Sardines and Caesar. There you go, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm down for like a Caesar cookie with garlic, parsley, and sardines, but I would be down for one with anchovies, because anchovies would be like really salty, you know? And she's like, this is not Polish, but this is just what comes up in my mind. Oh, wait, hold on 1 second. Sorry, my mind just came up with potato. Sorry, can't help it. New biscuit, potato just a slice cookie. Of potato.
Yes, potato cookie.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Scammers are best known for living the high life, globetrotting on private jets, dining at five-star restaurants, and driving six-figure sports cars. That is, until their house of cards collapses and they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. Scamfluencers is a podcast from Wondery, hosted by Sarah Haggie and Saatchi Cole, that tells the unbelievable true stories behind some of the world's most infamous scams, swindlers, and con artists. Scamfluencers has covered jaw-dropping scandals, from Ponzi schemes to a fake Saudi prince to a sexual predator masquerading as a wholesome yoga guru. These scammers cost their victims hundreds of millions of dollars and immeasurable emotional anguish. So how does our culture allow them to thrive? Each story on Scamfluencers will take you along the twists and turns, the impact on victims, and what's left when the facade falls away. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So now people get their cookies in. So we watch a lot of people staring into the windows. And Monica, I don't know what I'm talking about, because this is, you know, it's a bunch of Monica notes is. On things like, I don't either. I don't think there is one. That's why I'm saying I'm going to fast
Monica
forward
from
now.
From Friends. She just comes in.
Yeah, good old Courtney Cox. So Victoire has already overcooked her biscuit, which is not good. And now it's time to decorate. So Padma comes in and she's like, did you not hear me? And then the violins start going crazy. She's like, thank you, violins. Okay, 20 seconds. 3, 2, 1, time's up. You hands up, utensils down, dum-dums.
Okay, let's have someone come up and not stand on a gel mat in front of me. Okay, great. Victoire. So Victoire comes up.
Try to describe your dish while your feet hurt from all of the hardness they're standing on.
Enjoy standing about half an inch shorter than where I would be if I were talking to you.
So she did a savory mascarpone and bacon cookie. And Padman goes, ew, you need gluten in this.
Yeah, because she reaches for it and she goes, uh-oh, because it starts to crumble. And she goes, she's like, this just isn't holding together. Like Gail's tote bag after she reads a 2-for-1 culotte sale.
Let me just tell you something that Gail has never been told in her entire life. Needs more gluten.
So, and then Paul's like, biscuits should snap. Snap. It feels like a phrase that love was like, I feel like that was a phrase that he had to use to learn how to play flute in finishing school. Like, do you not remember your scales? Do you not remember your learning method? Biscuits should snap.
Yeah, you know, remember? He says it with such intensity, you know? And I could just imagine him being a student and just getting whacked on the back of the head. Biscuits should snap! Boom!
Yeah, he was definitely traumatized by that. In his coming of age British movie that was nominated for a few Oscars, there definitely was a tortured sequence where there was like a terrible nun who was like, biscuits should snap, Paul.
Yeah. And so Victoria's second cookies, her sweet, is beetroot and coconut oil. And Padma was like, thank you. Unfortunately, that first cookie was hard as the floor you're standing on, dummy. Go away. So then Gabri comes up, and he's done a corn biscuit with kimchi, tomato, and pickled cherries, we talked about before. And his second is a chocolate butter chili.
Yeah, and Padma is just chewing. And so it seems like everything's fine. She's just like, I don't know. And then Amar comes up. He has like a cocoa nib and vanilla biscuit. And Paul like taps it. And he's like, this is the sound of an English biscuit. A crispy biscuit. You're a good little boy, Amar.
Tapping on it. Now that is the sound of a nice English tapping biscuit. It's like he's remembering the good times too. I'm glad that he could remember the good times.
Yeah. And so then Tom's whole thing is that he hates biscuits. And what he did was he took like a dough and then he froze it with liquid nitrogen to make it crispy from liquid nitrogen, which was, I feel like, ill-advised. So he comes up with these quote-unquote biscuits, and Padma's already just like dissing him. She goes, ew, dessert. That was my way of saying, that's not a biscuit, you dumb German.
And then the guest is like, oh, nice cake. But we asked for a biscuit. A biscuit. A biscuit. You've not given us English biscuits. You've given us cake. Cake.
Every good boy makes biscuits. That's what you do.
Also, I'm sorry to go back to Amar, but I like it when Paul told him, this is the sound of an English biscuit tap right here. And Amar goes, oh, I'm so English now. Okay, back to Paul being furious. So now Charbel comes up and he serves a Parmesan cookie and then a chocolate chip cookie. And Padma goes, do you make a lot of biscuits, Charbel?
As she sips from a mug. And he's like, no, it's not my favorite thing to do, but we're on Top Chef and we have to adapt. Oh, exactly. What an interesting concept. Tom, did you hear that? Someone actually chose to adapt.
So then Ali does a za'atar and orange cookie. And the guest, Paul, loves it. He's like, oh, my favorite thing to do is to dunk. Dunk. Good crunch. Delicious. God, you're gorgeous. Can daddy sit on you? Come on over here. Take my seat. I'll sit on Ali for the rest of this competition.
I know that. Oh, my pussy bow is getting a little tight. Is it hot in here?
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your bows. It's getting so hot. I want to take my bows off.
So now it's time for Sarah, and she's like, well, I made an English biscuit sandwiches, but they're like stuffed with things that you put on a normal southern biscuit. It's like, oh, well, thank you, Sarah, for not serving us a harmonica in between your English biscuits. Thank you.
Hope this one doesn't have donkey hair in it, Sarah. Jeez. So Sarah made a smoked pimento cheese. And for her sweet, she did a clotted cream and key lime curd. And these were not cookies. Okay. I'm surprised she didn't get in trouble for this.
I know. That was not right. Sarah, this is a little strange. I think this is the first time you've served us something that didn't involve weeds you put on soil for it to regenerate.
Sarah, we don't have any of your missing teeth in our cookies, so well done. You win.
So then Sylvia's up next. Oh, how beautiful. Let me guess. It's a potato.
Anchovy cookie with parsley, garlic, and shallots. And her sweet is rose cookie with almonds and white chocolate. And they don't really say anything to her. And then Buddha does a black pepper with prosciutto as his savory cookie, and his sweet is raspberry and whipped cream. And of course, they're both stunningly gorgeous. I mean, my God.
Of course. Yeah. And I don't know if there was a response to that one either, because some of them they go through quickly since there's a lot of contestants, so they don't really spend time on. So Luciana makes a Parmesan biscuit with crispy bacon and walnuts, and then that tonka bean thing. And Paul is like, there's a lot of cheese in this, you know, and you can tell in a good way. This is just a delicious, delicious cheese ball. It's like cut to Paul at the middle of the night just stuffing cheese in his mouth like, mommy doesn't have to know. Mommy will never know about my cheese.
So then, cheese, mommy. Cheese and thank you, mommy. Cheese and thank you. So Begonia did the same dough for both, but made one sweet and one savory, which she was allowed to do. And they are both also stunning to look at. I mean, stunning. Wow, she's such a good artist. And one is a lemon butter and apple biscuit. And one is a savory lemon butter with fennel and dill.
Yeah, they look gorgeous. And then Nicole, aka Canada Smile.
I'm calling her Monica. Her name is Nicole, not Monica. Okay, noted. Noted, everybody.
I think her name is Nicole.
Yeah, when I say Monica, I mean Nicole.
Oh, because there's like a Nick in Monica. So there's a Nick in Nicole.
Yeah, oh, thanks. So he's like, oh, look at these. They look like English biscuits. And she's like, cacio e pepe biscuit and a sweet pistachio and rose. She's all smiling. She's told the joke. I love that she's always kind of smiling and laughing. So at the end, he's like, chefs, we had some beautiful biscuits and a couple that we weren't so happy with. Let me give you a hint. Biscuit should crumble. Crack, 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 tap, tap, tap.
Who had one of your least favorite biscuits today? And feel free to say everyone.
And he's like, Victoire, your sweet biscuit was overbaked and burnt. Oh, and the savory, it really didn't hold together. Do you understand what that means in Italian? Hold together. Okay, it just doesn't hold together. Okay, Gail's wardrobe. That's your note. Get back in line.
Victoire's like, oh, I'm so ashamed.
Padma is so funny. The fact that she goes, the savory one, mustata insieme, exacto. That was me speaking Italian. You may remember from a few seasons ago when we went to Italy and I said, exacto, that I'm very fluent in Italian because I went there once.
I wish they just put what she was really saying in Italian under, because you know it was like post-it notes, shoebox, hello.
Linguine insalata.
And the guy's like, Gabri, your cookie was, as I've often been called, too soft. Oh, you go, you. I love when people who get bullied bully themselves.
You know what? The chocolate sauce was just a little bit too sweet. Lasagna Bertolini. Sorry, that was Italian. Unfortunately, not anyone can understand it.
And Tom, because you made a cake, not a biscuit. The brief was clear. Even if you don't enjoy bacon, you have to go with the brief. And the brief was biscuit, not cake.
Now, Ali, if you want to show me your briefs, I won't stop you. Okay, settle down, lady.
All right, now for the good news. Gail's not here. So who had one of our favorites today, Paul? And he loved Nicole's zingy icing on the ring biscuit.
And he loved that hers was the cheese biscuit. She's like, that brittle, slightly overcooked cheese. It never tasted burnt, just overcooked. It tasted just like comfort. It tasted just like binging late at night when mummy's not looking. Just me and the cheese and comfort all around.
And you, Ellie, your savory hit me in the tongue and it was za'atar. Much like how I hope I get when I hit you with my tongue. Za'atar all the way, am I right?
Elia's like, he's like, I'm the silent assassin, you know? Maybe not so quiet. Maybe I'm not so silent and deadly. Maybe I'm just like loud and deadly. You know, I really am stinking up the place with my skills right now. It's like, okay, Ellie, all right. Your metaphors are messing up right now.
And the winning chef with perfect texture and appearance, both in cookie form and facial, is Ali.
Wow. Now, Ali, can you say thank you in Italian? No. Oh, that's too bad, because I know how to do it. Spaghetti.
He's like, thank you, guys. I have no idea how to explain. It means a lot. She goes, well, you just won immunity. That should mean something. Give us a little excitement, Ali. It means so much. A little more excitement, Ali. I'm so happy with this. Oh, come on. Stand on this gel mat. Just kidding. Go back to the stew room, stupid. You didn't win life. You just won one stupid cookie challenge. Paul, would you like to cop any feels before he goes back?
Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and I have a shred of sympathy for you because I can tell you've been beaten up a lot in your life, so I'm actually going to leave my gel mat and come to your gel mat and give you a hug from one famous person to one unfamous ginger. There you go.
She just pushes him off. Ha ha, now I have two gel mats again. Bye, stupid.
I win. Exacto.
I want to thank you so much for not getting bottles thrown at your head in front of our cast. That would have been awkward. Good luck hitting those mean streets of London again. Please stop by HR to grab a wig if it makes you safer. Bye, Paul.
Now, unfortunately, this second gel mat is reserved for David Chang. Bye.
All right, chef.
Not sure. Sorry, not continue, sure what, other man. Me.
No, go ahead. No, I'd love to hear it.
I had a half-formed thought that wasn't worth forming the rest of it. So I say, why don't you go on first, Padma?
All right, chefs. What happens next doesn't happen very often. That's right. It's lunch, and somewhere Gail's skipping it. Just kidding. So, you have the night off. Tomorrow, in the morning, you're going to meet me at... And then a ball, like a soccer ball, bounces to her. And she's like, Padnam Huchaki Palaki Tong Tong Tiladuchi Waxahachie Stadium. Anyone familiar?
Anyone familiar with the stadium? Sarah, have you ever been to a stadium before? Raise your hand if you've been to a stadium. Now raise your hand if you've been to Paris. Not you, Sarah? Oh, that's too bad.
Now raise your hand if you've played potato in high school. I know, Sylvie. I just wanted you to feel special. Put your hand down. Because she's even holding a potato when she raises her hand. This is crazy. I wish that Ginger was here to see that.
Oh, dear. She put a smiley face on the potato, and now she's cradling it like a baby. This is just getting very sad.
So Sarah's like, okay. I'm scared because I played soccer in high school just so I didn't have to go home after school. I could just drive around, smoke cigarettes in the car, and get high as fuck with my friends. Don't put that on TV. Like, A, literally no one is shocked, and B, how are you the exact same person in high school? Because they show a picture of her in high school posing, like how they make you pose on soccer teams, where you're sitting with one knee bent next to a soccer ball. Like, that's all the poses in soccer. Same person.
Sarah, that was a lovely story, Sarah. Next time, you don't have to play a banjo while you tell it. Okay, moving on. So everyone... get some rest, because you're going to be sleeping very badly on your poor people mattresses. And tomorrow, you're going to Topopotamus Potspur Stadium. So enjoy.
Oh, wait. I'm about to throw it a ball at one of you wimps. Watch out. And she throws it at Buddha, and he just ducks and screams. He's like, oh! Told you, wussies. No, Padma.
Padma full on misses and the ball crashes into one of the counters. She's like, oops.
Whoops.
Sorry. So now the chefs are having dinner together and they're just talking about it. It's like one of those like chef's bonding scenes, you know, because like Amara's talking about how he's never had a night off like this. And Sarah's like, you know, this is not my first profession. I have a degree in statistics and psychology. Oh, really? Were you wondering the psychology of crop cover plants that you serve as food? Huh? Sorry, continue with your dinner.
And Charbel says he started as a hairdresser, to which, of course, Luciana's like, oh, do my hair. I need my hair done. Look at my hair. It's a mess. Which is why you never tell people you do hair or own a truck, because they will be calling you from a Home Goods to move their shit every week. Okay.
Yeah.
So Sarah's like, well, you've probably cooked the least amount of time than Sharby's. And he's like, I told Dad at 16, don't waste your money on school. I'm cooking.
And then Victoire tells a story about how she left the Congo after the Second War, and then her uncle said, you have to go to Italy to become a cook. And then she went there, and that it was, like, super racist, and it was, just, like, very traumatizing, and she experienced racism every day. But then when she won Top Chef, she had a lot of people reaching out to her saying that, like, she was a huge inspiration, and she's proud to be a voice of many women from the Congo. So they all cheers to Victoire, deservedly so.
Yeah, and Charbel's like, it's so amazing and impressive that we're all here today. There's one amazing hairdresser who also cooks, and yet there's so much bad hair still. Let's ponder this for a moment. So the next day, Amara's like, where are we going to cook? In the actual stadium, in the bathroom, the parking lot? You know what's amazing about stadium? Oh, no. Then we go to Ali, and he's like, do you know what's amazing about stadiums? You walk in, and you can feel the energy inside. I was like, really? Because it doesn't seem to be affecting you, okay? Can you roll around a little bit inside of it?
I know, exactly. Can we get this guy some caffeine?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they walk into Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and Padma's standing there, and she's like, ta-da! She's on, like, the sidelines. They're not allowed to even go onto the field. Whoever owns the stadium is not happy with this production, because they walk to the side of the field, and then they immediately have to go out to the parking lot. So Padma's there, and she's like, ta-da! Good morning, chefs. Welcome to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We are standing in the largest club football stadium in London. Unfortunately, Gail's not here because she thought we were going to get footlongs from Subway, not playing football in the club sandwich. You see what I'm trying to do here, guys? It's like I'm trying to form a joke and no one's giving me a yes and here right now. Could someone help me out, for crying out loud?
We're home to the best club, which to them is called the Spurs. To Gail, it's called Turkey. For your elimination challenge, you'll be in four teams of three and four rounds of 35-minute challenges of 20 minutes of seven. Put yourself in four teams of 19, divide it by three, partner with any two people with five other doctors only doctors, and then a hairdresser will run underneath you with five teams of six. Does everybody understand?
Sarah, you claim to also have a statistics degree, so you should be able to follow that. Can't you, Sarah? No? Oh, that's too bad.
So
anyway,
they divided
get
the
into
teams.
Your groups.
There's Gavri, Vigonia, and Luciana. And then there's Charbel, Sarah, and Sylvia. And Charbel's like, oh, I'm trying to run away from Ali. And then I see Sarah and Sylvia, and I'm like, I love you. Potato lady and harmonica lady, you are mine today.
Okay, now we're going to use the league system of relegation. It's a very British way of saying you'll be going against that person and you'll be going against that person, but in a British way. So round one, there'll be two head-to-head matches, and each team must make one dish featuring a beloved UK ingredient, so obviously not toothpaste.
If you win, you're safe. If you lose, you compete the next round. But then you compete head-to-head. The loser team, all three of you have to go head-to-head 17 times in three teams of one. What do you think about that, chefs? And Luciana's like, oh, my God, if I knew this, I would never be on the team with them. Why? Because now they've chosen friends to be on their teams, which means the bottom team, one of their friends, is going to go home.
Yeah, the team we just chose may be your competition, because the chef with the least favorite dish is going to have to go to Buckingham Palace and read Prince Harry's autobiography through the gates.
So we meet, she tells us that Akira Chavez and Ludley King are the guests. So they have to pull knives to see what they're going to start with, which is Winsdale, a very nice mild cheese. And then they get Stilton cheese. And she's like, that, of course, is not mild. Winsdale is me in first class, and Stilton is 9 hours of gale with a broken air conditioner in coach coming from Florida.
That's gale on a tugboat trying to cross the Atlantic. It's gonna be a little choppy, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so please get ready for your battle in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is not Tots and Ham with Hot Sauce Stadium, Gale.
So now the judges are behind sports desks to watch them cook, and Padma's like, teams of Stilton, your 45 minutes starts now, smellies. And so it's like, now they just go for it, right? It's Monica versus Begonia. Dun, dun, dun. Not Monica.
Yeah.
Monica?
Nicole's team.
God damn it.
Versus Nicole's Begonia's team. Yes. And this is when they've now been moved out into the parking lot. So, like, all that talk that Ali had about, like, being in the stadium, you just feel the energy. I'm like, well, what are your thoughts on being in a stadium parking lot? Because that's where you are right now. They would not allow this to happen on their turf. They're like, no, this is... We're the best team in all of England, and you are not allowed to spill a scallop on our turf.
Well, it's probably fitting, because he does have more parked car energy than, like, stadium energy, you know. So that works for me. So let's see. Victoire, Amar, and Nicole are one team, and they're going up against Luciana, Gavri, and Begonia.
Yeah. And while they're just like cooking, and so Padma's sitting at the judging table with the judges, and so she's sort of like stirring up a boring conversation. So she's like, "So, have you cooked a lot with Stilton, Handlebar Judge?" And he says that he's like, "Oh yeah, I love it. The more stronger for me, the better." Wow. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. You're just not famous enough.
And Gail's like, "It could easily overpower a dish if you don't balance it. Gail, you're wearing a blazer that's hot pink and orange. Please get off the balance train. You just wrecked the dress barn train, Gail. Okay.
Wow, you're making Handlebar seem more interesting moment after moment. Hey, person in between me and Handlebar, is your name Leslie?
Ledley.
Ledley? Well, that's just simply ridiculous. Anyway, how long did you play? And he talks about how his first official game was at 18, and then he retired at 31 due to injuries. Ha, ha, ha. I'm still going. All right. Well, that wasn't a competition, but I'm an ambassador now.
Well, the point is, congrats on being an ambassador, but I win still. So then down on the parking lot greens, Gavri and Begonia is basically bossing around Gavri and Luciana, right? She's like, do this, do that, do it like this. And yeah. Gavri says, well, she's a good team leader. I'm following her with blind eyes. And he's like, you know, guys, I don't like football, but I do like the players. And they all crack up. So then Wednesdaydale, Wednesdaysdales, ha ha, firm but cream cow milk cheese. That's next. Get ready.
Mild cheese battle. Start now. I don't think, by the way, so every time she says start, she blows her whistle, but I don't think Padma knows really how to blow a whistle, because she's like, it's like, it's like she gives like barely any breath to it. It's like,
of course she sucks.
Blow it, Padma. Whistle.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm not really sure what culture I'm stealing this from, and until I find out who I'm stealing the whistle from, I would like to honor them by doing it improperly. Woo.
So Charbel suggests doing like a cauliflower steak for his team, and Sylvia's into it, because she's like, oh yes, that has starchy potato flavor. How about this? Instead of cauliflower, we just call it pretty potato, okay? And we'll add cheese to it.
So Ledley's like, you know, when you're Russian cooking, is it easy to make mistakes, guys? Yes, it is. And that's why you see the yellow team taking a second to stare at Gail's outfit so they could be traumatized, accept it, move on from it.
I mean, don't ask me about mistakes. I'm still doing the job I was doing 20 years ago. What about you, Ledley?
Tom, Buddha, and Ali are working on a potato puree with their cheese. And over with Luciana, she's like, guys, this is baby food. It's too runny. This needs some bite or something. Maybe some smoked bacon. And then we go over to Nicole, and she's like, do we need more blue? We've done it in a foam. We've done it in a stew. We've made little blue cheese pendants that we're going to give out to the judges later. Oh, gosh, we've rubbed some behind our ears and got on our wrists.
Please be careful with the things you're saying. Gail is going into a catatonic shock.
Please stop reading sex pornography in words to Gail. That would be great. Canada smile.
So then Sylvia's making a sauce, and it's like allegedly a sauce. It is so thick, it looks like a dough. And Sarah's like, yeah, I don't love it. It's a bit under-seasoned. Have her throw a harmonica in it. How about that? How about... Oh, dear. You know what? I'm just, like, basically drunk off of all this Tottenham Hotspur Stadium action. Apologies.
Tottenham Pooksie Dixie Chompy Chompy Travel Stadium. That's what I like about it. So Sarah's like, oh, gosh, if it's under-seasoned, the whole dish will be under-seasoned because it's going to cover the dish, which means that if it's covering it, it doesn't have enough seed. Sarah, I'm not even down there and can't hear you, and you're annoying me. Please be quiet and keep trying to stir that brick of cheese that Silly handed you. Thank you.
So Padma's like, I like the idea of cauliflower, but then Tom's like, yeah, but you know, cauliflower though, it's sort of like, you know, when you got a celebrity chef dad and, you know, you just take a stupid job like mixology, it's just the easy way to go with that cheese, you know, just the easy way to go.
So now they're plating 6 minutes. Sorry, that was me on the whistle again. And Gail's like, the green team is plating. Well, I hope it's cold ingredients because I cannot stand to have half-warm ingredients coming down my throat. I won't take it.
And Victoire is allergic to walnuts and she gets exposed to them. So she starts to sneeze and everything. Oh, look at Victoire. Look at her. Wow, she's really pulling a Ledley. Am I right, Ledley? Got to take her out of the game.
90 seconds to live, Snot Factory.
Hey, Victoire, why don't you say something with your full voice? Oh, you can't do it anymore? Way to go, Walnut.
Throat's closing up. I'll give you $20 to give that allergy to Gail.
So that's one thing Gail will never happen.
Victoire is like, oh my God, I'm telling myself, just finish the dish and then you can die. Time's up. So Victoire is taken off to the medics. And the Stilton teams are up first. First is Amar, Monica, and Victoire. And Padma's like, where's Victoire? And they're like, didn't you see her? She just got pulled over by the medic. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant earth, heaven, or hell. Okay, those are your three options.
Wow. I mean, here I thought Ledley was lame for only making it 12 years into his job, but now Victoire can't even make it 12 minutes. Sad.
I just want to make sure I don't eat this dish if Victoire dies, because it's going to be worth a lot more money in about 10 minutes.
meanwhile, Victoire's like off the medic. The medic is like, I'm sorry, you have to come over here. And they just like are jamming an EpiPen into her thigh while they're just like judging this like Stilton.
Stilton Nicole's thing. Like, she had an allergic reaction to Gail's blazer. I've used 3 EpiPens on myself. So they have roasted duck breast, roasted fruit, walnut crumble, and blue. And Padma's like, how was it to work together? And stupid, what's his buns? Goes, well, if Amar is like, well, at first it was kind of rough because we couldn't understand Victoire, but it was fun. Really? That's how you're going to open? Okay.
Really?
Come on, Amar. You're a dick.
So then the green team makes poached egg and pear with balsamic vinegar and Stilton foam and crumble. And the judges are eating it. And Pam is like, okay, on my word, You're going to hold up the color of the flag of your favorite dish. And Gail, your blazer does not count as two votes. Sorry.
And they all unanimously hold up the red flags. And so Gobbly's team loses with zero votes, which is yikes. Congratulations. You're free from elimination, except for Victoire, who might be eliminated from the earth by God. Wish your luck.
Gail, do you have something dumb to say? Yes. Well, green team, the flavors just got a little muddled. The egg yolk coated the Stilton and the espuma, but you didn't get the punchiness that I wanted. No, there's no flavor, no texture. Oh, you want to talk about punchy? Look at your blazer, stupid.
And Tom's like, egg yolk, you know, with espuma, that doesn't work well because, you know, it's the same texture. There's egg yolk and there's espuma. So, you know, not a fan. What can I say? I'm sorry. You know, you should have made that into a drink and tried to sell it to somebody for about $30 and called that a career. I mean, that would have been more impressive, impressive than what you just did right now. All right, green team. Maroon. Bye, losers.
Maroon team, you are safe. You can tell Victoire that she's stupid. Mm. Bye.
So Begonia's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, guys, because the idea was mine. I don't know what to do. And so then Victoria's still trying to go back. And they're like, no, ma'am. She's like, but I need more gluten in my biscotto. Like, no, ma'am. Sit down.
They're like, no, absolutely not. So now Sarah is telling us, we're using cheese in like a billion ways. It's in the puree. It's in the sauce. It's in the little cheese crisp. It's the crisp. It's everywhere. Is it in your harmonica? For crying out loud. Enough already.
Someone's like, wow, they're going to be impressed. And she goes, they're going to be constipated is what they're going to be. God. And Tom's like, well, I don't know if ours has enough cheese, guys. Wow. So it's very delicate plating. And time's up. So Yellow, who braised onion with pickled grapes and chilies? Is this your first time to Wendlesdale poopy pot? Penips are having hoppity scotch?
And Purple Team, what did you make? And they're like, they've made cauliflower, Welsh rarebit, stout, and cheese sauce, the caramelized shallot. Wow, that's fascinating. Not. Okay, let's eat this. And Tom's like, well, I gotta say, it's a tough one. It is a tough one. Wait, are we all thinking about ways we could push Gail off the London Bridge?
Are we all thinking of the strength of the chair that Gail's sitting in right now? I thought so. So they.
Are we all thinking about? Are we all thinking about how hilarious it would be to watch Gail drive a double-decker bus into a building? God, that's a tough one to think about.
So they hold up flags and purple wins with four. Yellow only had one, and it was Padma. And I like when Padma is the only one out because she always feels like she's the best judge. And she's like, well, this time she didn't really argue, though, because sometimes she'd be like, guys, yeah. What were you thinking with that waffle choice?
What? I'm the only one who voted for Yellow. So Tom's like, no, yeah, listen, you know, Purple Team? You know, you guys weren't afraid of the cheese and, you know, like Yellow Team, you know, your cheese got muted by the pepper. It was almost too aggressive with the spice. A little too hard. Too aggressive. Perhaps maybe that was much like my parenting, pushing my child into a dead-end job. I don't know.
Well, I guess they like the Purple Team, but I just want to say to the Yellow Team, I just wanted to eat more and more and more of it, but... Purple, I guess you're safe, stupid, except from hemorrhoids, which you'll probably get immediately after trying to digest all of that dairy at one time. God, guys, it ain't like hemorrhoids.
I don't know. I just called my dear friend Zoe Kravitz, and she also voted for the Yellow Team, so...
So now it's green versus yellow, and Tom's like, whoa, the green team, that's a beast of a team. Three Top Chef winners and a Michelin star from Spain. Nothing could go wrong. What could possibly go wrong with this? Fuck my life.
Well, this round, the secret ingredient is Bramley apples. These are apples that have large mustaches.
Padma, I think you're thinking of Wilford Brimley, not Bramley apples.
Shut up, Tom.
Oh, yes. Granny apples. Basically apples that dress like Gail. Okay, so these are the national fruit of the UK. Okay, chefs, you have 45 minutes. Start now. And so green team is Begonia and Luciana and Gabri. So Begonia's like, Carpaccio, crab, cannelloni, and apple? And Gabri's like, maybe a bit of cheese. And both Gab, both everyone else is like, no, 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 no. And they're like, yeah, the first challenge was not enough Stilton. So this time we're using apple, apple, and apple. And that's it.
Yeah, the yellow team is going to just go crazy with the apple. They're going to make it just a dessert that's like all apple. So the judges, meanwhile, are slicing up this apple and tasting it. And Gail's like, you know, this might even be more tart than a Granny Smith. And Pam is like, oh, really? Oh, hey, everyone. Gail is now the authority on apples. Congratulations. Why don't you start wearing a black turtleneck and selling us iPhones, dummy?
No, seriously.
Sorry, that was hostile.
It's a very satisfying apple. Gail, that's a Snickers bar, okay? Please take Gail's purse away from her during challenges. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you know, it's funny that the apple is Britain's national fruit. I thought that was Paul, the ginger from earlier. Ha ha.
10 minutes. And so Charbel's like, come on, green team. It's green apple and you are green. And Amar's like, wow, good one, man. So Luciana's apples have turned brown because that's the first thing she did was cut the apple. And So now they're going to just like douse it in sauce so they can't see the brown apple, which of course isn't going to work because you see it under the sauce. Like they're so then Buddha is finishing up his crumble and beautiful dishes. I mean, both of these are fucking stunning. I can't believe, oh my God, I can't believe they're whipping this up so quickly.
I know. And by the way, the green team, they serve a crab and apple cannelloni with apple mayonnaise. Now, I'm not a person who hates mayonnaise. I enjoy mayonnaise. But the idea of apple mayonnaise, I have to say, that's not a concept that, like, I say, yum. But they make it look good.
You don't say apple mayonnaise. I agree with you. I would love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is
an
magic.
Apple aioli,
I would
maybe? Not,
yeah. I wouldn't call it that. So Padma's like, who did that? And Begonia's like, they did the filling, I did the sauce, and now it's the yellow's turn, the yellow team's turn. And so Buddha's like, we did Bramley apple tart with caramelized apple, not crumble, and creme anglaise. Oh, nut crumble, not crumble. It's an actual nut crumble that we use, not a nut crumble. We get it, dummy. Good Lord. All Gail's going to taste, you know, is that the Snickers satisfies you anyway, okay? She's already got her own crumble in her mouth.
For crying out loud, just let us eat this food before Ledley's other foot gives out.
Wait, everybody, I have a question. My taste buds have a question. Silence in the stadium, please. Is there an apple butter on this? And Tom's like, well, it's an apple sauce with its butter base. And she goes, I knew it.
They're like, I'm sorry, Padma. Apple butter takes 9 hours to make, you idiot. So, no, that is not it. Yeah, I was just testing you. Stupid.
All right, so hold up your flags, everybody. And it's unanimous. Yellow wins. And it's the poor green team now. That has to go
which
up
is terrible.
Yes, Gabri, Luciana, and Begonia.
I was like, look, please don't send Begonia home. You know, I like Gabri and Luciana, but do not send Begonia home. I will be very upset. So I was getting very, very nervous. And Tom starts saying, like, you know, green team, the apples just, like, weren't as crisp as they could have been. And, you know, it just was not what I wanted. And Gail's like, I loved the herbs, you know, and they were eclipsed only by the intense apple flavor in the yellow team's dish. It's a Charleston Chew. You were eating a Charleston Chew, Gail.
So now the green team has to go head to head. My guess here was that Gabri is out. I was like, he's going to be out on this one. So, and also they just show him moving so fast, which I guess is his thing. But, you know, I never trust that because I've worked with so many people who work like that. They're like, oh my God, look at me. I'm the fastest. And they fuck everything up, you know?
Yeah.
And Padma's like, one of you will be going home. Do I sound sad? That was good, right? Going home. Okay, I'll keep working on it. It feels good to say going home. Am I crying right now? Get on the cry.
Well, the good news is you'll have plenty of time to speak with Sarah, and she can show you how you can fold all your belongings into a bandana and attach it to a stick. All right? Okay, so the final ingredient is English peas. English peas. The garden pea is the national vegetable of England. Isn't that exciting? Your time starts now.
So 45 minutes again. And they all really like each other on this team. And Padma's like, this is pretty intense because we have Top Chef winners from Spain, Mexico, and Brazil. And someone's going to go home from this.
Sarah, do you know where any of those countries are? Just checking.
We have Top Chef winners all from places Sarah will never see. Wow. So Gabri, how's it going? And he's like, peas and mint. This is what we do. In Mexico, this is never a main dish. That's why I'm not using a Mexican touch this time. Instead, I'm using other flavors to kick open on the pea floor. Oh, wait. Kick open the pea flavor. Know what I'm saying?
And Begonia's like, I don't know. I don't know what half the things I've said this recap. So then Begonia's like, oh, I love doing peas. Like I'm gonna do reamed peas, crusted peas, merengue of peas. I'm gonna make a magic carpet of peas. It's gonna fly around Padma's head, and she'll get on board, and then she'll go and fly from Tottenham to Big Ben, and then back again. I'm gonna make it rain peas. I've actually consulted the weather. It's going to actually rain peas on them. I just love peas in every form.
Cloudy with a chance of peas. So you're going to make a pea meringue? Okay, then. So Begonia's talking about how much she loves peas again. We cut to Begonia, and now she's like, I love peas. My restaurant is nominated the best vegetable restaurant, and that is because we can cook vegetables in lots of ways, especially, wait for it, peas.
When I recite the alphabet, I just go P, and that's it, because none of the other letters are even worth it.
A, P, B, P. EFP. It's so many letters.
My favorite thing is to go to the bathroom because that way I can say, oh, pee-pee. Double P.
So Luciana is doing a sweet Japanese barbecue sauce, and she says she used to be a South American chef with Japanese cuisine, and she's done this one before, so she knows she can do it. 15 minutes! And I can't really... Oh, Padma's like, I can't really see what Gabri's doing back there. He's just a blur. He's so fast. And Tom goes, I can tell you what he's doing. He's cooking with peas. And Padma's like, ha ha ha, Tom. That's hilarious.
It's like Gail going to the dress barn to find new socks. It's just a blur.
So Gabri is doing a twill of peas, and Begonia's like kitchen aiding the shit out of her pea meringue. This is a crazy one. Watching someone make a twill of peas and kitchen aiding a meringue made of peas.
I know. And Begonia is like staring at her blender with such intensity. She's like, you shall blend for me. Blend it right now. It's like I thought the blender was just going to explode under her stare. So they bring up the dishes to the judges, and they describe that Begonia has made a cream of pea with creme fraiche and salted peas and fried peas and a pea meringue. And
Gail's she's also peeled the skin off of each pea and then deep fried the skin. That's crazy.
It was wild. Gail's like, the meringue, is this just made from pea protein? No, it's made of a tablecloth, Gail. Of course it is. Just listen to the woman for crying out loud. I'm sorry, Begonia.
Then Begonia has peas with creme fraiche. Something salted peas, fried peas. Oh, and the pea meringue. Didn't you just say this? Okay, sorry.
I did.
Yeah, so talking about the water. Okay, now I'm caught up. So Luciana is next. So she did a scallop carpaccio with yakiniku sauce, yakiniku sauce, and pea volante. I don't know what any of that means, but it looks good.
Yeah, and the handlebar guy is like, so why you not put acidy things? Oh, so close. Here, let me do it. Did you mean to not do any acid on this dish?
Are you trying to murder us with a lack of acid, stupid face? And Gabri's like, well, my dish is called Peas and Beets. And it's, which I love his creative naming, because it is sauteed beets. Sauteed peas and cured beets, okay? And a twill, the mint twill. And Padma goes, is this prosciutto?
Is this prosciutto on the bottom, or is it just a shoe? I just can't tell anymore.
All right, chefs, we have a very difficult decision. Go be poor somewhere I can't see you, please.
So the chefs go off and like sit even farther away from the stadium. And now they're debating things. And Gail's like, you know, the thing about Begonia is in describing that dish and the many ways that she used those peas, it felt like she was showing us the range of the pea. Yes, just like how your blazer is showing the range of things that will destroy my eyes. I get it, Gail.
Just like you're showing the range of, please, don't wear that. So Tom is like, well, the problem I have is that two of the chefs, you know, the peas they gave us weren't really even cooked well. You know, that's Gabri and Begonia. I mean, who can't cook a pea? Begonia did that fried thing, and that didn't help out the pea. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, even my son could cook a pea, for crying out loud. And he's a mixologist. He's someone who just thumbed his nose at the tools that his father gave him and became a mixologist. And even he can make a pea, for crying out loud.
Well, it didn't bother me just because it was so artistic. Oh, please, Gail, it was intentional. Like the way you try to blind me every episode. Ow. How many times do I have to say it? Ow, I vote off Gail. Gail, please pack up your sporks and go.
I'm not sure I turned to Gail Simmons to be the judge of things that are artistic. I mean, for crying out loud, she has a framed wrapper of Bazooka Joe on her apartment.
So Aquila liked
me.
Pine was like, well, I love the Begonia made meringue. That was creative. I didn't get as much pea flavor from Luciana's. And I really hate the day ending with me saying, God, I wish I had more pea flavor.
Yeah. And then the handlebar guy's like, sometimes less is more. And in this case, less is less. Did you hear that, Gail? Less is less. Orange or pink, not and pink, for crying out loud. Bless her heart.
Oh, less is Ross. Dress for less, Gail. Okay, we know. At least cut your tags off before you come to work.
Less is Gail. There, I said it. Tom's like, well, you know, I still think, though, that Luciana still cooked her peas better than the other two. So, you know, I think we should talk about that because, you know, Gabri's peas are clearly undercooked, but he still made the better dish. Yeah, well, Ledley seemed to really enjoy it. He wouldn't take his face out of the Gabri's dish, for crying out loud. Good thing he got injured. Now we can spend more time eating Gabri's food.
We have our answer. Let's get them out here. Hello, everybody. Welcome. I would like to welcome you to the Tom Gina Monologues. Tom, he's like, well, watching you guys cook, it's clear you developed a nice friendship, so to be cooking against each other must be really difficult. It's like the sisterhood of the traveling peas. And I'm left with the question, what happened to America Ferrara? Padma?
I'm not sure. I'm not friends with her. She's not famous enough. Okay, Luciana, congratulations. You made this dish a million times and it was terrible a million times over. You're going home.
And so we get long hugs and kisses. And Tom's like, well, we'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen. And she says that it was hard being up against her friends, but there's still a bit of hope because I now get to go to Last Chance Kitchen. My knives are sharpened and I'm ready to remove my earrings and start chopping. It's like, yes, you go. Love that attitude. I'm so sad that she's gone. I really liked her.
I know, I liked her too, but I would have been more upset if Begonia went home. So I breathed a sigh of relief.
I would have been okay with Gabri, but Luciana hurts. It hurts. Yeah. Guys, I'm sorry. Hurt.
Well, luckily we have many other wonderful people. So we'll look forward to next week.
But not then,
you know?
And what are you going to do? It's Luciana, who I really loved, and that's it. I'm very upset.
You know, you win some and you lose some. And if you're a mixologist, you lose some and then you lose some more. That's just the way it goes. So, congratulations.
You're a mixologist, you pour some and you can't pay your rent some. So, there you go.
Yeah. You know, if you're a mixologist, you lose some dignity. That's what I say. That's what it is.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will be back later with a little Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, followed by Summer House, Jersey, and the other one that's on.
A million
else.
Other shows.
Oh,
well, there's
Vanderpump Rules and all that.
Vanderpump Rules.
Also, we'll have a new Dwell Hello coming up this week for Wondery Plus. That is our House Hunters recap. And in the meantime, go find our bonus episodes. We just did an Airport Snaps
Seattle episode. That's where we just sit around in public and make fun of people. This time it was in Seattle Airport. So that was fun. That's our bonus episode for the week. And we will have another bonus episode coming up this week as well. Join us at patreon.com and get your tickets for Crappens Live over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.